AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Speak freely.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to our Book of Boba Fett podcast. I got my friend Justin on the right. Which way? That way. There we go. He's on the right there. We are picking up where we left off last week. This is episode 5. What is the title name of this one, Justin?
Well, there were two. There was one that was shown, like when you went into Disney Plus.
They didn't want to reveal it, right? I think they changed the last. Yeah, which is smart. Yeah, which is so great. Which is great.
Totally, because what was it called? It
Return
was
of called... the Mandalorian, right? Is
well, that was
the new one. We should also mention to anybody who's listening, obviously you're here to hear our thoughts on this episode, so it should go without saying that we're going to spoil the entire episode, especially with the name that we just dropped. So if you don't want to know every little detail, or not every little detail, but if you don't want to know the episode and what happens, maybe come back after you watched it to listen and or hear our thoughts. Or watch our thoughts now, because we're live on, not live, but we're on YouTube recording ourselves. And so just a little warning, if you don't want to know the details of the episode, come back in a bit and check it out. Okay, yeah, so the Return of Mandalorian. Okay, mm-hmm. I have a lot to get into here, but okay. We'll talk about it at near the end of my thoughts of the episode. But this is nothing to do with Boba Fett. Initially, this is what do you want to say? A prelude to season 3?
Kind of, yeah, because it was like when the series was being pitched, a lot of people were saying that Book of Boba Fett was essentially going to be Mandalorian season 2.5. And this was a perfect example of that.
Yeah. Does it rub salt in the wounds kind of thing, though, for Boba? Because I mean, just think about it. I'm just trying to think of a comparison. Let's say we do... let's say one of the Disney Plus Marvel shows that we had. Loki. Let's say we had Loki. Here's a good example. Let's say we had Loki. We had the Loki TV show. And all of a sudden, Thor comes in there and takes some of the episodes away about Thor and his whatever journey he's going on. Or mini journey. Doesn't that kind of... kind of take away from Loki? It does, right? Because
it does.
Thor's more popular. I mean, depending on who you ask, but generally, consensus is Thor is a lot more popular than Loki is. So when he comes into their show, people are going to be flocking towards that episode and talking about only that episode. And I feel that's the same way with Mando here, is when he jumps into this series, it's like whatever happening is what's going on with Boba. People really don't care anymore, right?
Yeah, it was an interesting choice to do an entire episode of The Mandalorian. I mean, the Book of Boba Fett was initially started and had a big tease. The preview for the Book of Boba Fett was part of a Mandalorian episode. So I do think, while I agree it could detract from Mandalorian's story, they are very intertwined, the two series. And I think it's kind of Disney doing a Marvel thing where they're having a lot of their series kind of blend together and...
World building.
Yeah, so it kind of just,
groups them building.
groups them into the same universe.
Yeah, which is cool because people love crossovers, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But what I'm trying to get at is like an entire episode pretty much is dedicated to this character that has nothing to do with the series directly. Because all the other episodes, all four episodes, is a different, complete different tone of what's going on. And then we just get this. It sticks out like a sore thumb.
I mean, it felt the same. Bryce Dallas Howard's directed this one as well. She did the last episode, which was probably one of my favorite episodes. So I think the actual tone and the feeling of it was very similar, but the subject matter, absolutely, it kind of, I mean, we've been doing nonstop Boba Fett and flashbacks of his story. So to do like a sub story of a completely different character, while they are very related in the fact that, you know, they had the same Mandalorian armor and blah, blah, blah. So yeah, it was an interesting choice for sure.
Okay, so we see him in the episode right off the bat. Mando shows up. It's not like it's going to be somewhere in the middle of the episode. We get a glimpse of him.
Yeah,
it's he just walks right away at a butcher's house, you know, butcher's place. He walks in, and it's right away. Boom, here we are. And he goes into, it's so similar to episode, season one, where he was in that bar looking for somebody, and he walks in. And there in front of him is, you know, what are those guys called again? These creatures?
Platoonians.
Platoonians, there you go. They're sitting there, and he's like, I need to, you know, find this person. And they're like, well, we don't know who he is. And then he puts the hologram, and it looks like the guy in front of the hologram is like, seems like it looks like, he goes, well, doesn't look like me at all.
Doesn't look like the hologram at all.
It looks exactly like him, right?
Yeah.
And so basically he does, you know, the heroic.
He says his line.
He says the heroic line, like, hey, if you value your life kind of thing, you should leave because I'm probably going to take all of you guys out right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, they surround him. The typical thing that, you know, heroes have, the henchmen surround them or surround him and make it look like it's an impossible odd. But we all know that this is going to take about a good, 20 seconds and then the room will be cleared. And that's exactly what happens. But he does kind of do a couple of things. One, he pulls out the freaking Darksaber, which is like, so holy balls, saber. Like, you know, finally we get to see him wield this shit. You're like, oh shit, right? And then he's just, you know, basically trying to wield it, but he sucks at it so bad.
Yeah, that was a really cool thing, because like, we've seen in so many movies and TV shows of just like Jedi's wielding sabers and just being space ninjas and everything being fine. But this is like one of the first times that we get to see that like these aren't things that are easily wieldable.
Yeah. If you don't have training, forget it. That's why Jedi's train a lot, right? Because in that training, they're able to wield that blade just like it's an extension of their hand.
Right? Yeah.
They're able to manipulate that blade in any way. That's why you see them spinning it in a circle in their hand, and they're able to take on, you know, laser shots at them, right? But he has no training in using a sword because he's used, you know, his gadgets and, you know, his gun to fight off enemies. And it's, his, you know, flame effect, which I'm sad that we didn't see, right? Because was this the first episode we didn't see him use it?
Pretty much.
Right? Oh,
but yeah,
sucks,
he's fine
right?
with the Beskar spear, but just like an actual, well, I mean, it is a lightsaber.
Flamethrower was not there.
Yeah, so. But like to actually see, like, even with melee weapon training and expertise, a lightsaber acts completely different. It needs a lot of different training, and it's a much different ball game for to actually wield it.
So he just basically takes all the monk, cuts off the head, goes outside.
Dude, it was a brutal scene.
Yeah,
and the fact that we tons of dudes just get decapitated.
Yeah,
the bounty that he's there for, he suplexes him onto the table and then cuts him and the table in half.
So there's another line that he says before he begins. He's, I can bring you in warm.
Yeah.
Or I can bring you in cold, which he said that same line.
Yeah, he said that a couple times
one. So I guess he brought him in. He's bringing him in cold, right?
And
he's got the bag, you know, with the head in it, and he goes outside the door and he goes to all the workers there. Hey, there's a table full of cash over there, so I don't need it. But if you let me through, help yourselves, you know, give yourselves a
and,
bonus.
And in the process, he also, again, showing that he's not, doesn't have expertise in wielding this weapon. He cuts himself.
Yeah. nice chunk out of his thigh.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and then obviously everyone's like, Cash, yeah, we'll take it. You go ahead and do your thing. We're not messing with you anyways because we see what you did in that room, or we heard what you did in that room.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he basically, he goes out and he heads back. He heads to a ring? What do we call this?
He goes to Halo.
Yeah.
We've actually seen a planet like this before. What was it in?
Well, you can see where the budget went on this show.
Yeah.
They're like, we're gonna skim some of the budget off the other episodes and put it here because the CGI was great.
It was really, really good.
The,
yeah,
the city building was great.
Yeah. I can't remember off the top of my head, but this isn't the first time we've seen a Halo-esque planet in Star Wars. It was in one of the TV shows or games, I think, at least.
So the bounty was basically a way to get back to his clan, right? Because you see...
Yeah.
So you see him with the visor, and there's codes sent in the buildings imprinted, and then you see the last code, which is the I can't remember the name of it, and it escapes me right now, but it's their symbol that they have for the Mandos, and that's the final door, and he goes there, and sure enough, what do we see?
The Mythosaur is the skull.
The Mythosaur, there you go. And then we see our good old friend, the armorer, sitting there in her, you know, what is it, meditation pose, you want to call it?
Yeah.
And she's all
That backdrop was super cool. The sewers of it, and it just, the backdrop is space.
Yeah. It's basically it's just like the dead space, and it's just like so eerie, and it's sort of like the edge of space.
Yeah.
Right? Like you just nothing there but empty void.
Yeah.
So he basically goes there and he's like, and basically can't even walk, right? He's just rolling down the stairs. And then we see our big boy, you know, heavy Mando, heavy infantry Mando, which is the producer of who's the name again? The producer?
Oh, it was the dude from.
We always get this guy's, we always forget his name, John Favreau.
Chef. John Favreau, yeah.
Jeff Favreau, not his brother.
No, the chef.
Oh, chef, okay. As I say, yeah. Jeff Favreau.
So yeah, John Favreau's character.
Yeah, John Favreau, he's dressed up in the heavy Mando suit, and he's basically repairing his thigh. I would think that with so much advanced technology, they would be able to repair that thigh a little bit faster.
Well, what do you think? After like 5 minutes, he stops limping. So it's just like some back to spray or something like that.
Like when he was spraying that clear thing, I was like, isn't it supposed to like close up and like look like it's perfect?
Yeah, it does eventually. They kind of cut away.
If you can perfect intergalactic space traveling, I'm sure you can heal things a lot faster too, right? So he basically, you know, is showing the blade to her, and then she gives sort of a rundown on the backstory of the blade and the mythos behind it. We get more information. We find out that she says, first of all, the Empire has been around for what? 30 years? And we've been around for 10,000 years. The Mandalorian faction, the groups of Mandalorian planet, right? We've been around for 10,000 years. They got nothing on us.
Yeah.
Yet, that planet Mandalorian got planet Mando or Mandalorian got just...
Mandalore,
got destroyed... Yeah. And they even named it the Night of the Thousand Tears, right? The Purge. And the dome that the whole city was, the Mandalore city was, got absolutely annihilated. And
was a cool scene, like Terminator-esque.
And they showed that. And they showed that, you know.
The Purge.
Yeah, the Purge and everything. They show that, which I thought it was fantastic to actually get to see the scene in real life or in CGI rather than animation. Yeah. And then she talks about the blade itself, saying, you know, it's forged by a Jedi/Mandalorian named Tar Vizsla, which is the first wielder of the blade. And then she talks about, you can't gift this blade. You have to win this in combat. To get the blade. That's how it works. Otherwise, you will curse it. So he basically is shitting on Bo-Katan because in the animation, Bo-Katan
was gifted,
and then she cursed them because of that. She said there's a curse behind it, if you want to believe it or not. But it turned out to be, I guess, true because she cursed the whole planet, right?
Yeah, and then the purge happened, everyone's kind of blaming her for that.
Yeah, and then that kind of explains why she didn't take it when he was giving it to her in season two. Like, here, take the blade. I don't care for it. And she's like, I can't because the last time I did that, shit went down.
Yeah.
Shit went down.
Last time I did that, everyone died.
Yeah, I don't want to do this again, part two.
Mm.
So, and that also gets Heavy Mando sort of in a hot and heavy bothered sort of state because it's his ancestors that wielded it, right? Because remember, Mandalorian, Din Djarin was not an original Mandalorian family.
No, he's a foundling. Rescued.
Yeah, he was rescued, right? By that group, that clan.
Nightwings, I think it was?
Yes, yeah. And basically, he's like, I want that blade back in my family.
Yeah.
Right? So, of course.
Vizsla. What's it? Not pre-Vizsla.
Tar. Tar Vizsla.
Yeah.
Was the original founder. So,
yeah.
They square off, they want to fight, and it sort of reminded me of like Darth Vader fighting Luke on that balcony, where one of them will fall, they could die, that's it, right? It's just like a little tiny, like, why would they want to do that? Like, first of all, they're gonna be buddies afterwards. They're gonna be on the same side.
Yeah, why that's Mandalorian.
But why would you want to risk each other's life?
That's the point.
This is the way?
Do it if this is the way. Yeah, it's just like if there's no stakes, then it's not serious.
But they weren't going to kill each other. They were going to fight till one gives up. But if you fight on a ledge like this, one of them could die.
Yeah. Then
that is the wrong way, my friend. That is the wrong way.
I mean, that's the Mandalorian way. They don't mess around.
The Mandalorian. They haven't learned. There's not that many of you out there, guys. You've got your what handed to you. There's only a few of you left. Why would you want to kill your own kind off? Right?
This
salvage as many of you can.
Yeah.
So anyways, they get into a little duel. It was a good fight. It was a decent fight. And a
lot of headbutts.
Din Djarin sort of wins at the end, has the blade on him on his neck. And then you have the armor come in and she just kind of, she's like the party pooper. She just comes in there and she's just like, did you ever take your helmet off? And Heavy Man is like, no, I never did that. And then she goes, Din, did you ever take the helmet off?
And he's like,
we all know the answers. And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
This dude just got here. You're going to already kick him out?
Yeah.
He had to kill somebody to come see you again.
Yeah, he gets excommunicated. And then he goes on like, so the subtext of this was actually really funny because, like, if you take a step back and look at what happened, essentially he's just like, this is his Mando's midlife crisis. He loses his kid, gets fired from his job, gets excommunicated, and then he goes and he's like, screw it, and goes and builds a hot rod.
Okay, hold on. Midlife Mando.
Yeah.
Hashtag that, please. Midlife Mando, we should put the that Mando. Somewhere in the channel. But sorry, let's get it go back a little bit at the beginning here. Why he came also. He came to melt. Well, she told him, melt the spear because it was gifted to you and you don't need that anymore. You have the blade.
Well, no, the spear, she was like, Beskar shouldn't be used as a weapon because that can be used against Mandalorians.
Yeah, it'll
so
pierce
it's actually
your armor.
A danger.
And then
he's like, all right, cool.
Well, he's like, I got it gifted to me by a Jedi. Mm-hmm. Right, and it was Ahsoka that gifted it to him, right? Yeah. So he's like, it was gifted to me, and she's like, okay, well, what do you want to do with it? And he's like, well, I want to melt it into the younglings or foundling armor. And she's like, who? And then, he's basically not trying to tell her who it is, but she knows.
He's like, I got a specific one.
Yeah, and then we all know.
She's like, well, he's not your problem anymore. He's like, well, I still want to, hang out.
Yeah, he's got a father, but I was his father first, right?
Yeah.
It's and then he's like, yeah, I want to get him something. It's like a, you know, it's a divorced dad that's trying to go.
Yeah, exactly. See the kid. He's trying to
it's a divorced
be the
dad.
Cool dad still.
Wants to be the awesome dad and go to the birthday party and give him the best gift in the party, right?
Yeah.
So he's like, best car's the best in the world. So I'm going to get it for my, you know, son. And I can't wait to see what it looks like. Do you think it's chain link? Do you think it's chain link? Or
is it just a necklace for the skull?
It can't be a necklace. That's a lot of Beskar armor for necklace.
It is a lot. Well, we don't know that he used all of the spear to make it. So.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, maybe
that's
it is just like a mithril.
What if it's just a giant
vest.
Big logo of their Kree?
Oh,
the house.
I
think it's a symbol. It's like probably a big chain or something.
Probably.
It's kind of hangs. Because I don't see him wielding armor on him. I mean, hey, who knows? We'll see. Right? So, he gets that as a gift to give, and then he gets booted out of there. So, and she goes to him, the only way to redeem yourself is you walk in some water at the bottom of Mandalore.
Yeah, and then he's like,
cave.
And then he's like, but it's destroyed. And she's like,
and she's like, well, this ain't my problem. I told you what you gotta do.
These are the rules. Yeah, but they blew up. Yeah, well,
this is the way.
Yeah,
you gotta figure it out. I don't know. Dig up another cave and find some water. Yeah. I don't know. That ain't my problem. I'm still wearing my helmet.
Sounds like a
you
problem.
Took yours off.
Yeah,
go figure it out, son. So yeah, so he's packed up his you know what, and then he's like, all right, I'm out of here, right? And then he goes and Ubers it to Tatooine, right?
Gets on a bus,
giant Uber bus.
I did like the when he got to the front, and the droid's just like, can't have any weapons on here, and he's like, it's part of my religion. He's like, you can talk to my supervisor. He's like, okay, fine, whatever. And then just unloads all his stuff, all his knives and guns and. There
I thought
you
he was
go.
Gonna,
I know I everything that's in there.
I thought he's gonna miss his ship. Like they would have looked at him. Sorry, it's already full. You gotta wait for the next one. Right?
Yeah.
But he's like, yeah, I know everything's in this bag or this suitcase. So if it goes missing, I'm coming after you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially when he puts the blade in there, right?
Yeah, the dark.
But can
saber.
You imagine he opens up and the blade's gone? That would
I was
be
kind
so
of expecting
funny.
That, and I was gonna be like, oh great, now I have to do a side quest to find it again. But.
The Pikes have it now. So he gets back. That's his excuse to go back to Tatooine. And he goes to see the lady who fixed his ship in the first place. She was getting mauled by some rodent. And he basically saves her. You know, she little side story. She actually looks like one of my coworkers that used to work with me. She's retired
oh,
now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So she looks exact. She has the same hair, same... like the light, the build and everything. She was a really nice coworker of mine. So yeah, it's just funny. Every time I see her, it reminds me of my coworker.
That's funny.
But,
was probably my least favorite character in the Mandalorian.
What did she do to you?
No, she just
how
had
do you hate
a lot
her?
Of,
she's so nice. She's a sweetheart.
She just had a bunch of cringy lines and.
Well, she wasn't going to have any earth shattering effective lines. She's just like a side character.
No, I know. Just I just didn't like her as an actor. I didn't.
Oh, she come on.
Yeah, just like her presentation and how she delivered the lines. It was just super forced and felt weird, especially in The Mandalorian.
Right,
it was she was moderately better in this episode.
I thought she was hilarious. I just thought she's just like, let's talk about what she was doing. She basically was assigned to get him another. Razor Crest, right?
Yeah,
and she told him pretty much like, "I got you the Razor Crest, right?
Yeah, I got you a new ship."
So,
well, before that, we get to see the first live action BD droid. So the BD droid was Cal Kestis. From Cal Kestis
from the game.
Yeah,
from the game, yeah.
From Jedi
it's
Fallen
it's the
Order.
Actual one, though, is it not?
We don't know. We don't know that that's BD-1. That's just it could just be another BD unit.
It's a great
that
Easter.
Was
it's a great
30-ish years or 20 years.
So he's still alive.
Yeah. Well, he'd be in his 40s or late 30s now. So.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's
maybe.
Awesome because I would love to see that character.
Yeah, he's still alive and kicking. But I can't remember the exact timeline, but he maybe like 10, 15 years. Because it was. Yeah. Anyway. So we get to see a BD unit in live action, which is the first time. And then, yeah, then she's just like, here, I got this, I got the a replacement for the Razor Crest. And then she unveils a Nubian, what is it, MB-1 or whatever, like the starfighters from the Naboo Starfighter, like torn up.
Yeah, so the Naboo Starfighter, N-1 Starfighter is called.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the, it is Anakin's ship. Right? And they do a little drop talking about the Naboo prince, you know, princess, and yeah, we know who she, who they're talking about. So it is Anakin's ship, which is, as soon as I saw it, I'm like, wow, that is so unexpected.
Yeah.
And
well, we just don't know that it's Anakin's ship, but we know that it's the same.
I'm betting it's a Naboo starfighter.
I'm betting
it's Anakin's ship. I've got a hunch it is. Well, it's not really his anymore because they modified the you-know-what out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much it's their own customization ship. And yeah, the funny thing is, a lot of people had that ship a while back when they bought Star Wars figures, when that series came out, what, 20 years, something like ago?
I had one.
So you had one, and it was yellow, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So look what they did. They're like, man, we're not going to give you the yellow one again. We're going to give you a new revised version of it. So
yeah,
you're going to go and pick it up again.
Yo, that thing was so cool. They yeah, had like the engine manifold thing popping out the top. They had a bunch of new guns on it. So
I'm all over that thing if they give me a 6-inch scale one.
Oh, hell
I'm
yeah.
All over. I'm telling you right now, I'm all over that thing. Like,
yeah,
if you, I don't care how much it costs. If you tell me there's a 6-inch version where I can put Mando in there, I'm in. Yeah. I'm in. Because it, when I first saw the ship, I'm like, this is stupid. But then when they put it together and then he took yeah, the flight, I'm like, sold.
Yeah. Then he gets in, takes sold, it for a test drive. And the thing, the sound design was so cool for it. And then they go through Beggar's Canyon, do the old pod
yeah, where Luke, you know, did his training and driving around, and where Anakin yeah, even raced and all that stuff.
Yeah, the,
it was
the
nostalgia hitting you in the face.
And it was cool because like they go through, there were so many scenes that were like the similar or same camera angle from the pod racing scene in episode one.
They were so then, smart. They were so
but
smart.
But you get to see how Beggar's Canyon has changed. So like a lot of the scenes, they go by like the service ramp that Anakin goes off of, and mm-hmm, then but you see like houses that are now in the walls and stuff, and they did a lot of really cool things like that.
They gave you a touch of nostalgia, but they added in what evolution and time over mm-hmm, time does things to environments, right?
Yeah.
And for me though, the part where he is hovering and coming up, and then when you see that at camera angle, it just so felt so real.
Yeah.
You know, it's like
CG.
It was, yeah, it
went
was top
so
notch,
much harder. It was so much better in this one.
It was
very like photorealistic.
It really felt like he was flying. Like really mm-hmm, felt like it was flying. It was not in a studio with great lighting. But in actuality, it's CG with great lighting mm-hmm, and in a studio, right? Yeah. But it just
and even
felt
the scenes when like in the cockpit when he's flipping the switches, mm-hmm, it was like the same buttons that Anakin hit in the episode one and stuff, and it was like, all right, I know this cockpit. I remember this. I remember
then,
these
so
buttons.
The coolest part was in space and he gets pulled over, right? The X-Men.
Yeah, he goes to the big cruiser, flies by it, and it was just like, oh, I didn't know that they would be allowed to do that. And then he immediately gets pulled over by the cops. And I was like, oh, okay, there we go.
And he gets pulled over and then he's like trying to, you know, talk to them, and you know, we get some, you know, guest appearances from some people, and so the first gentleman that talked to him
mm-hmm,
apparently he was reprising his role. He was the guy they used as a body double for Luke in it was the same guy. They used him as the body for Luke Skywalker, and they CG'd over his face.
Okay.
It was the same gentleman. The first person to talk, the first pilot that was talking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What was
the second pilot was from Kim's Convenience.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he plays his role because he was in, remember the episode where they went to that ice planet? He was the pilot there.
Yeah.
So he was there. So, and the other yep, pilot in the ice planet was Dave Filoni.
Oh. Oh. Yeah. So the other pilot, I'm just looking up who the pilot was, because yeah, he did look.
Yeah, he was a body familiar. Double for Luke. They CGI'd over his face during the finale for the Mandalorian.
Yeah, he was. Who was it? I'm just trying to find what the actor's name is.
But I mean, that scene was pretty hilarious because he's trying to convince them, blah blah blah, and they're like, and you know, they're like, we heard your name before, you sound, or we've heard your voice before, you sound familiar, and he's, you know, I thought he was gonna say, yeah, it was me, blah blah, I saved, you know, but people there, blah blah blah, and he's just like, nope, it wasn't me at all.
Just noped out of there, yeah,
and then he just flips the switch and he is gone.
Yeah, like,
forget about it. He is gone, and then both they're just looking at each other like, "Should we go after him?" He's like, "What? What are
you
crazy?
Want to fill out paperwork all day?
Yeah. Do you want to do all this?" And he's like, "No." He's like, "Okay, whatever." Yeah, and then just go about their business. But yeah, that plane is just insane.
Yeah,
it's just a next level thing. So, I you know, and then he's got they took out the droid spacing in the back, and guess who's gonna be hanging out in the back? We all know it's going to be Grogu. He's going to be chilling with them in the back. That's going to be so cool. I can't wait. This is good old Grogu, just, you know, got his lightsaber and ready to roll.
Yeah. In the back. Well, yeah, because the first thing I thought when they were repairing it or building it or hot rodding it was like the Razor Crest could carry a lot of stuff. So this is also kind of a development of him because, like, his old ship could carry all these dudes in carbonite and all his weapons and stuff. And this is how what I meant when, like, this episode featuring exclusively the Mandalorian or Din Djarin was thematically similar to Book of Boba Fett, was because he is also, his character is also evolving to, like, have more purpose. So it's not just, oh, I'm going to be a bounty hunter and do stuff for money, whatever. Like, he's kind of straying away from that, and this also, like, him getting that new ship is like, well, he doesn't have any room for that, so, like, his purpose is more, it has changed significantly, and even, like, the things that he carries around with him are reflecting that, because his ship has, like, room for a passenger, and that's about it.
Not even a passenger, a small passenger.
Yeah,
it's like you know, you're driving a Porsche. The back seats, they're useless unless you have an infant there. Why would you put an infant in the back of a Porsche anyways, right?
Yeah.
But that's basically it is. Right? It's not going to be someone who's going to be an adult that's going to be able to fit in the back there.
Yeah,
this is I mean, do you bring up a good topic point there. Like, he's not going to be able to carry prisoners or stuff like that, and because he's not a Mandalorian now, he's been exiled, and I don't know, does that make him just sort of go kill people and get money instead of actually bringing them back as bounties?
Well, I guess you
can put a head in the back there.
I was gonna say you could fit a couple heads in there, bags.
There you go. Like,
but I think he's the only reason he was doing the jobs before were to get information or track down more Beskar, so it was doing things for the clan. And then the only reason he was doing the last bounty was to get info on the Enclave. And and even she's just like, the person that hired him, he was like, yeah, stay a while and I've got more work for you. And he's just like, oh, whatever. And I'd put that on ice and then leaves. Cause he's like, he's not there for work or money. He's there for information. So I think even just like that alone is showing that, like, he's only there to better himself, or like kind of do things he's not there for money. He's not there just to be a bounty hunter.
Well, it proves it, because when Fennec shows up at the end there, she gives him a bag full of cash and says, hey, Boba needs your help.
Yeah.
And he's like, I do it for free. So I,
yeah,
I'll
he's like,
do
this one's
free
on the house.
And that shows that there's a respect there for the two of them, because Boba would do the same for him. And in fact, has done that for him already.
Yeah.
Right. Where he's went in there and stuck his nose in there to help him out. So he just recognizes that he's a friend of his. He's like, I'll do it for free. But he goes, hold on a minute here. I just got one little pit stop to make.
Yeah, I
got
to go
to
visit
a friend of mine.
Friend.
And we know what that is. The next episode is going to be him going to see Grogu. And
Or are they going to do that with Book of Boba Fett?
What?
And then, that whole like going to visit Grogu. Do you
think well, the next that this episode's just... going to have Grogu in it, and Grogu's going to come back and help. That's my theory.
Hmm.
Grogu's coming back well, with some lightsaber wielding abilities and force abilities.
Well, he's only been gonna come. He's only been gone for what? Maybe, probably not even a year.
Hey, he's a fast learner. Really... What can I say?
Yeah, I don't think that they would. I think that they. So in the next episode, because again, this was a lot to go away from Boba Fett. Especially two episodes left.
My concern is if Luke sends Grogu to go with Mando,
mm-hmm.
does something happen with Luke or Luke disappears? There's got to be something where Grogu comes back to Mando and stays with Mando for season three, because I don't see a season three without Grogu and him together again.
Sure.
They're like two peas in a pot, right?
Yeah.
They need to be together for fans to be happy, because mm-hmm. fans are used to seeing the two of them together. And there's a reason why he's going there, because something's going to happen and he's going to have to come back with Grogu, and Grogu's going to have to stay with them for, out of necessity, whatever it is, there's got to be mm-hmm. something's going to be happening. And that will also explain why Luke was on an island by himself in that treacherous trilogy that we watched, mm-hmm. right? That might give some context to that.
Well, there's also been some speculation that the Knights of Ren would make an appearance either in this show or another. So that might be the start, because Luke took him away to train him. So he obviously has started, you know, a training school. So that might be the beginning of the Knights of Ren that you're seeing, which later, or they'd be called something else, but like the people who become the Knights of Ren that Ben Solo takes away from him. So again, I don't think that Luke would let Grogu go, because like he's just going to help some crime lord stuff. Like that the Jedi don't give a shit about that. Like
saying is something's going to happen where he has to go back with
sure. Him. Yeah, right? Yeah. I think
maybe Luke says I can't train him, or there's got to be a reason, and we'll see next week. Maybe I'm overthinking this, but it doesn't make sense for Grogu to go back with him.
Yeah.
Unless it's out of necessity.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying too. It's like this is just like some crime lord stuff on Tatooine. Like this doesn't matter as far as Jedi is concerned.
It's not a cause for him to leave and abandon the Jedi training.
Yeah.
Right? It's not.
So
it's
do you think that they're going to Do you think they're going to spend any more time on the Mandalorian for next episode? Because again, they only have two episodes left.
Well, that's my this is where I was going to get into here, is this is what my problem is with this episode as well, because I feel like this was not necessary in the Boba Fett series. Sure. I felt this, you could have just brought Mando in as a favor. You called Din in, say, can you come in for a favor? I would have been totally content with that and be like, yep, that makes sense. Yeah. Din is around, but he owes Boba Fett a favor. He's coming in, he'll get some cash, and he'll be on his way. And he has to get his Razor Crest anyways from the lady. So to me, I would have been okay with that. It's fine with me. But because I got a whole episode, I have an issue with this, because Disney could have been so, like, Filoni and the team could have been so much more intricate, where they could have give this as a prequel episode to tease us for the next season. They could have said, hey, after the Book of Boba Fett, we're going to give you a bonus episode where it shows what, you know, Din has been doing all this time. And that sort of whet your appetite for you guys to get ready for season three. To me, that would have been cooler. And I think it doesn't take away from Boba's story, because the story finishes and then this prelude episode shows up after as a bonus.
Yeah. So I think.
Yeah.
I think the next two episodes. Actually, also, a note is that this is the first time in the Book of Boba Fett that we've gone off world. This is the first time we've seen space, and I think that there might be some scenes in the next couple episodes or in like the big finale in space. I think they might have to go to a Pike cruiser or something and do some fighting there. So I think having this episode was kind of needed to show, because obviously in those episodes, we're not going to see the Razor Crest. We're going to see him with his Nubian cruiser. There's Nubian fighter. And then if they hadn't have done all of this backstory and showing why he left, why he's on Tatooine, why he built this ship, I think just showing up in an episode or two with a new with a Nubian fighter, everyone would have been like, what the hell? Why does he have that? This makes no sense. But I think this was kind of needed to show why he's going to show up with this new ship. If they don't have any space fighting scenes and they don't have any like close-ups on his new ship, then I agree that this was kind of out of nowhere and didn't add anything to the Book of Boba Fett. Not that I didn't like this episode. This is probably one of my favorite episodes.
Ship? Does he need a ship right now for Book of Boba Fett?
That's what I'm saying. Like in the next two episodes, there might be some space fighting stuff. And if they just had him show up with this random ship without any explanation, it would have felt really weird and been like, why the hell does he have that ship?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If they don't have any space fighting scenes, then this wasn't needed.
Yeah.
If they do, then I understand why that they spent so much time showing all the backstory and reasoning into why he has this ship.
Yeah, the things that happened to him in this episode has to directly impact Boba Fett.
Yeah.
If it doesn't, then what was this for? Was to
yeah.
Did they realize the writing on the wall was that Boba Fett is not doing so well and decide to insert this in there? Like
maybe
that's why they changed the title. The conspiracy theory there. Oh, I don't know.
But well, I mean, this is all planned out and like,
is it?
Oh, absolutely. This stopped. This finished filming like a year and a half ago.
I'm just trying to stir the pot here, but no, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I honestly felt weird to watch this because it got me hyped up for season three.
Sure.
Because I'm like, yeah, I know this is a great episode and I love it, but now I want to watch I want to watch Mandalorian. I don't want to watch Boba Fett anymore. Like, I don't care about this anymore.
I mean, yeah, that's because kind Boba of been...
Boba Fett is centralized, like we said, in one city.
Yeah.
It's this little grounded, and it's great for what it is. But when you bring the Mandalorian episodes or the TV show into the mix, now it becomes a galactic thing.
Yeah, it's so much bigger.
Literally out of this world, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it just feels like two different stories, and one feels a lot smaller than the other.
Yeah.
Right? And it doesn't feel like they're twined together, even though they are, right?
Well, and it kind of accentuates the fact that this series hasn't really made us care about Boba Fett yet.
You've made that very clear, too. you've been adamant about
episode,
that.
The last episode was great, and I started caring more. This episode was awesome, but it didn't make me give anything about, I didn't care at all about Boba Fett. And I was just like, I'm entertained. We see Mandalorian. This is a cool story. And then it's just like, oh, we get a couple like sprinklings of what's her name talking about the Pikes and how they're terrible. And it's just like, all right, but okay.
Yeah. Honestly, and, like, this would have been better served as a prelude. I would have been more happy that they'd give this as a surprise drop, as a bonus to get us ready for season three.
Sure.
Season three is not coming out till what? End
next
of
year.
This year, or maybe early next year? They're saying.
I think early
it all
next
depends
year,
on. Yeah. It all depends on how fast they get the work done, right?
Yeah, I think it's already filmed.
Yeah, they still have to finish the editing and all that stuff, right?
Yeah. So, but yeah, I think it's scheduled for like March of 2023.
So early next year, yeah. Which is unfortunate because I don't want to wait that long. Seeing this episode, I don't want to wait that long.
It's See, okay, so it's apparently it's coming out, 2022. So it
end
is
end of 2022, near the end of Christmas time, right?
So they'll probably do it Christmas time like they normally do. But that's speculation. So I don't think it's actually been confirmed.
Okay.
So
well, whatever the case, it is still far away.
Yeah.
So it's so unfortunate.
Two other series that are coming out this year.
Can you imagine him crossing paths with the rebel the rogue people?
Rogue Squadron.
Rogue Squadron.
That'd be pretty
cool.
Imagine
him crossing paths with that. Would be sick.
Yep. But they might be doing that with what's his name, Kim's Convenience guy, because there's a lot of it's showing that the Republic is present around that area and around Tatooine and stuff. Mm-hmm. So they might be, again, sprinkling that character in because he might be more of a focus later on.
I wonder when Ahsoka's coming out. I can't remember that at all. Did they even announce that? Because that's probably going to be our first glimpse of what's his name now? I had his name in my head now. Admiral Thrawn.
Yeah. Thrawn's going to be the big...
the big baddie.
Yeah.
The Thanos.
Yeah, pretty much. yeah, they
funny
don't have
how,
a
funny
release.
How they're both like colored faces.
Yeah. Both bluish hinge.
Well, one's purple tinge. And one's blue.
Yeah. They don't have a release date specifically. So we got Obi-Wan next. And I think they only just started production on Ahsoka.
So that's probably going to be in spring then.
Yeah.
Or production. Well, that's probably summer next
2024.
Year.
2024. Yeah.
Oh, is it 2024 they said?
But yeah,
they got a long ways to go then, yeah.
Yeah, they only just started production on it, so interesting. There's probably a while. So it's going to be Boba Fett next, and then they're going back a bit because they're doing what's his name? The Andor, Captain Andor's series.
Okay. Yeah, Andor's going to be cool. Oh, let's just see some crossovers there. Maybe Boba Fett shows up there. Who knows?
Maybe.
Okay, what do we give it this out of 10? Unless you have anything else to say.
Yeah, the ship was super cool. This was a really... So I would say that this would be a 9 for a Boba Fett episode and an 8 for a Mandalorian episode.
Oh, well, you can't pick one. You can't have two. Just pick what the episode is, what it's for.
Yeah, it was a 9.
Take the names out of it. It is a good episode, and what would you rank it out of 10?
It was a great episode, and I would say this is a 9.
A 9, okay. I honestly, I think this is a great episode as well. I'm also taking the titles away out of my head. I'm just talking about the episode itself. We already expressed what I thought of why and where the show should have been, this episode should have been, but I give it a 9 out of 10 as well. This is a great story. It does a lot of, you know, world building for the back end of what happened to Mandalorians and the planet and everything. It gives us more information about how important this blade is, how important the Mandalorian culture is, right? So it's nice to get that, and it just makes them feel more real, now more involved in this, because they've been around for so long, right? So before, we just thought they were just some bounty hunters and they were low level beneath the Jedi's, but we see that how important they were, right? Yeah. So yeah, 9 out of 10 for me. I'm excited to see season 3 of Mandalorian. But I want to get back to this Boba Fett show, and I hope in the next week they do sort of like a quick Grogu thing, you know, half the episode, and then get into the last half of the episode back into the Boba Fett situation.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking, because I don't want just one episode at the end about Boba. That's just a complete waste then.
Or, okay, maybe they have Boba Fett come with Din to go
hang out with Luke. How is he going to get in the ship? He's only seats one.
No, but he can take the Slave One.
But he... okay.
They both take their ships. Whoa, wait. Hold on. Speculation time. Because there's also a bunch of rumors that Mace Windu's going to show up.
The dude that fell off, the dude that got his arm cut off and fell?
Yeah. So he only got his arm cut off and then fell.
To his death.
Which we don't know.
Did he not die?
No, it's never been confirmed. We don't have his lightsaber.
Off a massive tower building.
Yeah, who cares? That happens all the time. As we've said multiple times before, falling down a pit means that you don't die.
Yes.
Nobody has ever died from falling down a pit. Okay?
And Boba's like, see? I told you guys.
And he's had so many of his flashbacks have been on, what's that planet called with the bugs? Anyway, that he's like, misses his father. There was a ton of Geonosis. There's a ton of flashbacks of him on Geonosis holding his dad, Jango Fett's helmet, because he got beheaded by Mace Windu.
Okay.
So he killed, and in the animated series in Clone Wars and stuff, he tried to get revenge and tried to kill Mace Windu. So like that thing's already established that he knows who he is and has tried to get revenge on him. There's a bunch of flashbacks of him, you know, missing his dad, seeing him go off to do bounty hunting jobs and stuff, and felt abandonment issues for that. So, and also, Star Wars Twitter or Instagram, on I think Sam Jackson's birthday, tweeted out a picture of him saying the party isn't over.
That's so speculation. The speculation is great because I would love to see him back there, but giving him only one episode, maybe it's a quick episode where Boba's like, no, I don't need you. Boom, shoots him in the head and kills him, right? Like,
yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. That'd be hilarious. Maybe they go to meet with Luke to hang out and party with Grogu, and Mace Windu's there. Maybe he's part
of... shoots him in the head.
...of the class. Yeah, and then he shoots him, yeah.
And he's like, I don't care. I don't need your help. Boom, you're dead. Get out of here. And that's his cameo, and then we're good.
Yeah, and then he dies. But yeah, so maybe.
All right, okay. Yeah, so this was awesome. And if you're listening to us, thank you for listening to us on our podcast platforms, Spotify, iTunes, etc. But if you want to see us actually on YouTube, check us out. We're on our YouTube channel at Astonishing News and Reviews. And if you want to go and follow us on our social media platforms, go to @AstonishingNR. Make sure if you go to our YouTube channel, give us a like and subscribe and hit that notification bell and leave a comment, because we're giving away prizes every month. If you want to know what you're going to win this month, go check out our videos. We explain what we give away every month. So yeah, you know, thank you for watching us, and may the Force be with you this month. And we'll see you next week for episode 6. Say bye, Justin.
The penultimate episode. Okay, bye, Internet.
Bye.